All right, we are here. We are Galexis. Welcome, welcome. A pleasure to see you. A pleasure to see your lights during this wonderful time of darkness, a time of transitioning from an old year to a new, and for you personally, an old you to a new you. Certainly you have felt some of these changes. Today our topic is anger. It deserves perhaps a whole weekend workshop. It's the most misunderstood emotion that humans have. Fear is pretty basic, simple, easy. You know fear. You're scared. That's it. Anger has permutations. It has levels. It has agendas. It has all sorts of assumptions and beliefs about it, judgments upon it, ideas about what it means. Anger stimulates fear. Anger stimulates and triggers other emotions. And as such, for many people, it is what we would call their root emotion. Anger is produced when your flow of energy, your momentum, is blocked by something. Now, it can be something simple, quick, easy. A very small anger would be, for example, impatience. If you're in traffic, certainly you've experienced impatience, where you've been in traffic and it's congested and there's, you know, lots of people in front of you and you're stuck and you're in gridlock and so on, and you're, but I'm running late, you know, and you can be really angry at the person who pulls in front of you or the person who, you know, just seems to dawdle and you can't get around them and get through the green light before it turns red. And it's your energy is blocked, your momentum, your flow is blocked. That's the essence of anger. All of you have energy flow. It is an energy that begins in your root chakra with the kundalini force that feeds your body with energy and vitality. It moves up into your second chakra where you assign the energy and the motivation in your body to whatever it is that you choose to do. It moves up and continues up into your solar plexus, your center of basic primal personal power, your lower will. There's a sense of powerlessness with other people being in control. You're going to feel depletion in there. But it's generally the solar plexus chakra, the third area, that area of your stomach and your small intestines, where the impact of anger is most primal, most direct, and most natural. Because your will is your flow of energy. It directs your movement of vitality. And when it's blocked by circumstances, by people, by whatever reason, anger comes into play right there. When you're angry, if you don't deal with it right away, you can become quite powerless quickly. Anger has been used to manipulate people, to intimidate people, to frighten people. So that third chakra, which has to do with power, can be bled really quickly in angry situations. That momentum of energy, that flow up through the chakras continues to the heart, which is attachments and love and balance. When you listen to your heart, you don't tend to feel what you call or consider negative emotions. But you can get attached. That energy flowing up to the throat, the higher will, the creativity, the expression, also a place where you can lose your power if you are intimidated. If you have been intimidated, very often you will have neck problems because your throat chakra is shut down. You can't speak back up. You can't talk back, so to speak. And all of you have had to experience this as children. So it's in every one of your cells. It's in all your templates. It's on all your experiences. is the memory of being powerless, of not being able to speak up, not being able to say, this is what I want, this is who I am. Now, of course, as adults, you're assumed that you can do this, perhaps even easily, perhaps effortlessly, but it is not quite that simple. This flow of energy also needs to go up to your third eye, where you can envision the future, where you can imagine and dream what you desire, what you want, put things into motion by creating the ideas of them and seeing how the dynamic of unfoldment can go, the plan of action, the process. And then the energy, of course, goes up to the crown, where it goes to connect with and ground to your higher self. This flow of energy, interrupted at any chakra, is going to give you some problems. The most common place that it gets blocked, however, is in the second and third chakras. See, the universe is giving a bit of emphasis here. When we have a car horn, it says, exclamation point, right? All right, second and third chakras are where you will most likely have blockages to this flow. These happen early in your life. So what happens is that when you're a child, when you're a baby, when you're an infant even, when you get upset, when your flow is blocked, when what you desire is not there, when you don't have your milk, when you don't have your feeding, when you've, you know, wet your diapers and you're uncomfortable and they are not being changed, you know, when you're too cold or when you're too hot, you cry, you can get angry. You can have a bit of a tantrum as you get older, trying to express yourself. Along the way, anger is trained out of you in a certain way and channeled a certain way. First of all, anger is considered, for girls, totally inappropriate. If you're a girl, you're not supposed to have anger. That's for boys. If you're a boy, you cannot have fear. That's for girls. As they start splitting off the emotions this way, it makes you truncated. It takes you out of balance. It makes you unable to have a balanced emotional body. So you're so busy trying to conform to the expectations of your gender performance that you can put judgments on yourself. Boys can judge themselves as weak, as failures, if they're fearful. Girls can judge themselves as bad and selfish and wrong if they feel anger. But we would say that anger is justified most of the time. Judgment is not. And you need to separate it, because so much judgment is put on anger and around anger that you actually can be separated and distinct from anger itself, so much so that you can be scared of being angry. Anger can then have power over you. You can be at its mercy. You'll do anything to avoid getting angry, but you can't really help it. A lot of times we see that men, for example, who have been trained in the man code, that's the behaviors of men and the belief system of men that are based on the chivalry code, but have an underlying foundation of shame or threat of shame, threat of humiliation and failure and exclusion, that men who have tried to be strong and powerful, the white knight to everyone, the strong together person that everyone leans on, the one who always is competent, always gets things done and achieves great things. If he feels too much pressure, his energy flow will be blocked by duties, obligations, burdens, carrying a yoke. And somebody can come along and say something and he'll blow up into anger, hostility, rage. If it's bad enough, if he's felt that he's failed enough, he can get violent. You can see those who like mass murderers and those who just go berserk, go postal, as they say, and they get a gun and they go back to their where they were fired from, and they go and kill a bunch of people, or they go to a school and shoot a bunch of people. This is anger layered and layered and blocked again and blocked again and judged again and shut down again and shut down again to at such point that the pressure becomes too much. It's like a pressure cooker of frustration, a pressure cooker of this energy wanting to get through but keep getting blocked, blocked, blocked. And when it blows, the person can go berserk. And very often, once the person does that and they realize what they've done, it's like they come back to consciousness. They come back to awareness. They have lost themselves in absolute shock. And then most of these people who do these mass murders will turn the gun on themselves and shoot themselves. Most of them die of suicide at the scene. Now, society considers this anger and threatens you and intimidates you with it. If you're angry, you're like one of these. If you're angry, you've lost control. You're bad. Somehow you're wrong. And also, if you're spiritual, you should never, ever be angry. Spiritual people are always blissfully high and so kind and loving and sweet. But what they're really trying to make you into, when if you believe that kind of BS, is a doormat, right? A martyr. You don't want to go there. People who have had to sacrifice, those are the people who consider themselves martyrs. But they consider it a kind of a noble thing. You know, I give and I give and I give. Underneath it all, they're very angry. But they can't express it. Anger unexpressed, anger unreleased, first of all, will ruin relationships. Secondly, it will ruin your health. Thirdly, it will bring to you all the most tragic and unfortunate instances in your life, and you will be unable to receive help for whatever crisis you're in. You won't have a guardian angel. You won't have magic happen and save you at the last minute if you're just too fixated on your anger. And you can be fixated on your anger and not even know you're angry because you've been trained to stuff it. Why do you think that the majority of adults now are becoming overweight? This is stuffed anger. When you eat and you're angry, the anger goes down with your food, gets down into this third chakra, and shuts it down. It shuts down your intestines. You have what is called dysbiosis, or digestive issues. You go out of balance. It attracts to you things like parasites and fungi and all sorts of ugly creatures we don't even need to go into. Your food does not digest. You cannot assimilate correctly. That's the first stage of anger in your body. But anger can go so much deeper. There can be so much anger at the loss of a dream, where you blame someone else for taking away your vision, your dream, your hopes. There can also be so much safety and comfort in a certain lifestyle that when the bottom drops out of it, for example, you've been married for umpteen decades and your mate dies and you don't know what to do. So often, once a married couple, once one dies, the other one has a tendency to go within a couple of years. And they will generally tend to go with something like cancer, something that will just eat them up. Cancer comes to eat up anger that you refuse to express because you've judged it, you've forgotten about it, you've numbed out to it, you've lost it. Anger is also fresh and under your motivational body. If you are unmotivated or depressed, your anger is stuffed inside somewhere. It can hit you in the emotional and mental body with depression and anxiety and a sense of tremendous heaviness about life, extreme pessimism. So anger has so many ways of manifesting itself. If you look around your culture and look at the strewn pathways of lost burned out relationships and frustrations at work and failures and all sorts of terrible things, for you that would be called negative experiences. If you look for the common denominator, most often it is repressed anger. Now, if you express your anger in a way that is healthy, not only do you clear the blockage to your energy flow, but you actually increase the dynamic, the volume of your energy. Because anger is actually a response to passion. You can only get really angry about something that you're passionate about. If you have someone who has betrayed you or who has lied to you, you have a right to be angry. It is natural to be angry. And to what extent you trusted that person or you built dreams around your life with that person or a business relationship with that person, the extent of investiture, of enthusiasm and passion and caring will flare up in greater anger. Since you are never, ever trained in school to do anything but like math and read, do they train you in emotions? Did they? You know, maybe in some very progressive places today, they can train children on how to identify anger, first of all, when it shows up, how to express it healthily, how to deal with it in a healthy way, in a self-loving way, and a respectful way. You can imagine what society would look like in 20 years. You can imagine if this was the way it was taught. There would be, in 20 years, a sense of freedom, a sense of joy, and tremendous amount of creative passion going on. So, look at your anger. What is it that bugs you? Anger shows itself in frustration. That's a minor form of it. Impatience is another minor form of it. They have different nuances. Like frustration is a simple block of your desire. Okay, here's what I desire to do, and I'm being blocked. I cannot do it. I'm being delayed. I'm being stopped. I cannot move my energy through. Basic frustration. Impatience is anger plus blame. It's a big, I can't move my energy through. I'm being blocked because of this, because of this person, or because this car pulled in front of me, because this happened, because of this. So there's a certain blame with it. Depression, a much more serious form of anger, is anger taken inside and aimed at the self. Depression is, well, I suck, and I hate myself. I'm angry at me because I keep failing myself. I keep sabotaging myself. I keep doing the wrong things. I'm so stupid. Judge, judge, judge. Over time, layers of anger and fear and guilt and shame and all that kind of stuff will layer up, and it will become a heavy weight inside you. Guilt is also a form of anger. Some guilts really are about angers that you don't feel you have the right to have. And this is the way that most people are trained in their lives by their parents. Particularly, it's known that mothers use guilt to manipulate their children. But fathers can use it too. Lovers can use it. Everybody gets a good shot at trying to guilt trip somebody else into doing something to manipulate their behaviors. If you've ever been guilt-tripped, you know what it feels like. You're put into a place to where if you show your anger, you suddenly are displaying yourself as a bad person, or as a weak person, or as a stupid person. There's some revelation or some finger pointing to you that you're the bad guy if you express your anger, even if the other person is the one who's manipulating the heck out of you. Anger comes in you like an energy. When you get angry, you can feel a heat rise in you. You can feel energy in your cells. When you're depressed, you don't feel any energy. You feel weight. It feels heavy. It feels dark. And that's because you put down a cover to hide the anger, which also hides the passion, which also covers the energy. And so you get tired. One of the most common ailments, you might say, that this culture has, that people have, are burnt out adrenal glands, adrenal fatigue, or any kind of fatigue. All right, blood sugar issues, hypoglycemia, diabetes. These are stimulated by pancreas and adrenals, and particularly adrenal function. If the adrenals don't work right, if they're overloaded, overtaxed, overstressed, all your energy be going there. You can't repair your body. You can't keep up. You can't keep your mood up. So a lot of people wear their adrenals out. Adrenals are where your anger and your passion move through. Adrenals are the little glands that enable you to have motivation, enthusiasm, and energy. They put out adrenaline. When you need adrenaline, you get adrenaline. If you're scared, you will get adrenaline. It will give you the energy and wherewithal for fight or flight or freeze. Stress is so associated with anger because of that, because it's an energy blockage issue. Now, there's nothing wrong with anger. Anger is actually a healthy response to blocks to your energy flow. It's natural to feel anger. The problem is that your culture has equivalated, we've made up a new word, how about that? Has made anger and judgment equivalent. You see, so if you get angry, you're assumed that you're judging. If you judge, it's assumed you're angry. It's like the two come together in a pair, but they don't really naturally. Healthy anger is an expression of how you feel. It's an expression of energy. And if you can express your anger in some way, you can keep your energy going, even if your external circumstances are blocking your flow. Even if a person is blocking your flow, you can keep your energy going by expressing your anger. You don't even need to express the anger to the person that's annoying you. You just need to get it out yourself. Most people stuff it. Some people run from it. Some people blame and judge instead of feel the anger. Some people numb it out. Drink, for example. Let's just not even acknowledge that it's there. Let's deny its presence entirely. All of these don't work. None of these work, rather. Okay? The way to deal with anger is to really feel it and to feel the juice. Feel the energy and vitality and the passion that is in your anger. To feel it, to own it, and to be okay with feeling that anger. Knowing you're not going to be stuck there forever. Knowing that it doesn't mean that you're going to end up being judged or judging yourself or feeling humiliated or whatever it is. If you can hold anger in a healthy way and express it in a healthy way, You will find your health improve. You will find your life flow better. You'll find more magic. And that's why we wanted to talk about it. Anger stuffed will kill you. There are people who are martyrs. Martyrs are people who are proud of themselves for sacrificing for others. I'm giving so much. I'm giving so much to you. I'd like for you to give something back to me now. But they don't state that part. You've known people who are always ingratiating and so nice, but you know that you feel this pressure from them to be nice to them. They're so nice to you. You've got to be nice to them. If you're not nice to them, you're a bad person. The problem is that this is manipulation, and you need to be angry when that happens. You need to feel your anger. Not feel guilt that, oh gosh, I can't feel anger, even though I know that they're doing it. I can't put my finger right on it. I can't say, hey, you're manipulating, but I know it. I feel it. Yes, and that's real for you. So feel it. When you feel that you're being taken advantage of, when you feel that you've been lied to, when you feel that you've been are being manipulated, when you feel that you're being blocked, feel your anger. Feel the energy in there going behind that blockage, going. It's fantastic. If you can actually get in there without any judgment and feel it, you can tap into a root of your power that is awesome. And you can stay in your power. Most people, when they get into anger, they feel guilty or they feel scared or something, so they shut down. They shut their anger down. And what happens is they shut their power down as well. They lose power. Whoever can make you, in a sense, or manipulate you into staying out of anger and being nice, okay, they've manipulated you. That person, you see, is using your anger against you. If you shut yourself down, your anger goes inside you and hurts you. Now, because women are expressly trained not to show their anger, because, you see, if a man is with a woman and she's angry, it's humiliating for the man. As part of the man code, if he has an angry woman, that means, number one, he's inadequate. He hasn't fulfilled her and satisfied her desires or done enough for her. So something's wrong with him. Two, if she's an angry woman and she's expressing her anger, then he's probably pussy whipped. Okay? How embarrassing is that for a man? That's about the lowest you can get. Right? So men have a vested interest in their own ego image, all right, in making sure that their woman doesn't show any anger. Don't let anybody know that she's strong and powerful, because that'll make me look weak in comparison. Now, this isn't traditional cultures. Fortunately, it's beginning to change. But in the consensus reality, in your subconscious and unconscious programming, you still have these. And women feel bad that they feel that they are to blame if their husbands feel bad about themselves. So the women tiptoe around, intimidated, and saying, okay, oh dear, well, what do you feel? What do you think? What do you want? What did you do? You did a, oh, come on now, what do you need? And what can I do for you? And how can I make you happy? And so on. Nicely manipulated. But what happens is that the women are the ones who get sick. Men don't tend to get ill in relationships. They've done actually amazing research in this to show that marriage is really good for a man. Marriage is great for a man. It's better than being single. He's healthier, he's happier, he feels better about himself and everything if he's married. For a woman, it's not the same thing at all. For a woman, actually, they found that women who are single and have satisfying, you know, work to do or something like that actually are way healthier than married women. All right? Or let's say a committed relationship, right? Because sometimes you don't have to have a marriage certificate in there for the patterns to display themselves. This also works in gay and lesbian couples as well, that they will choose that one will take one role and one may take the other role and swap back and forth. It's just whatever seems to be appropriate in the moment. But it can work that way, and sometimes it's very consistent. And of course, the straight people who don't understand will point at their fingers and laugh and say, okay, this one is playing the male and this one is playing the female. Ha 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 ha. But it's not really that simple. It's really that society only gives you two options, right? So when you're in a partnership, you know, one will take one side and one will take the other. You know, it's like a lot of couples play parent-child with each other. You know, one is the parent and one is the child. And the parent will tell the child what to do, and the child will be angry and rebel and be really, you know, pissy or go very into passive resistance and or whatever. They'll play that game back and forth. And then, who knows, the next day, the one playing the child will be the parent. And, you know, getting the one who was previously the parent is now being the angry child and being upset and rebelling and... So it's part of the game dynamics. If you can recognize it, recognize that if you are being manipulated, you must speak up. You must express your anger. You must stay powerful. You cannot lose it. Or if you do, if you feel battered by it, if you feel abused by it, if you feel hurt by it, because first of all, they are manipulating you. They are, in a sense, reducing you or insisting that you reduce yourself and you diminish yourself in order to stay out of conflict and stay out of problems, you're battered, even if you're the one doing it to yourself. And when you're battered, that batters your adrenal glands. That devastates them. You become timid. You become helpless. You become pessimistic. Sometimes sarcastic. But underneath it all, you're fuming, 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 fuming. So what we want to do this evening is that we want to introduce you in a nice, beautiful, and safe, and loving way to your anger. It's not a beast that's out of control in there. It's not something to be ashamed of, to judge, to hide from, or to hide away. It's something that's part of your creative passion. It's part of your generative force of life. It makes sex hormones. It's the steroid hormones. It heals your body. It gives you strength. It gives you power. If you use anger correctly, it will give you all these things. Because anger is simply a passion that's being expressed in a particular way around a blockage. That blockage doesn't need to stand at all. It generally, most blockages will not stay if you express your anger and clear your anger and keep your energy flowing. You will move on. So we want to introduce you to it, your anger. You probably know it very, very well, but... But nevertheless, we want you to be present with it, to sit with it, to learn from it, and to appreciate yourself as being able to have it, to be able to honor your anger, then to express, release, and clear so that your energy channels can open up and flow vigorously, flow powerfully, so you can have physical vitality, so you can have healing, so you can have more passionate and more love in your life and give more, radiate more. You are phenomenal light beings. To throw away your light just because you're embarrassed about being angry is a great tragedy. So we'll do that before we end this evening. But for now, let us go to any questions that you may have. So raise your hand and Daniel will pass you the mic.
Hi, good evening. I'm Therese.
Hello.
I think I've spent the better part of my life being angry, from the time I can remember, I think my first emotion was trauma and anger. And I have certainly had my share of anger in relationships and, you know, coming from me and also from the other person. And sometimes I think about it now that I'm in a more peaceful state, and I would like to know if you get any kind of a sense, because I think that I did go through a period where my adrenals were seriously affected. And then I went through a deep and long depression. And if you get any kind of a sense of anything going on with me physically or any kind of a sense of something I might need to be doing or something.
All right. Well, no, you're not basically angry now, but you haven't reclaimed your power. You haven't reclaimed it all. You're still operating. It's like, instead of on partial cylinders, you know, it's not like your whole engine is functioning.
Right.
Your adrenals are still down.
Yeah.
But they're not. They haven't come back to where they have juice, real good juice. You're just kind of, you're functioning at about, to what we'd say, about 30 to 40% of capacity.
Yeah.
Now, you've adjusted and acclimated yourself to that, okay? But that's not really your nature. You actually, your personal nature, and this is one of the interesting things, is people for whom that anger is their biggie emotion. That's the one that that's their root emotion. They'll move anything into anger. They'll move their fear into anger. They'll move their embarrassment into anger. They'll move everything into anger because anger is feels like it's more doable. It's more controllable, right? Like yourself, that this is a revelation of people who are very highly passionate and creative. And you are a creative type who has not really been able to create at the level that you would like to, just because you just don't have the juice. You don't seem to have the energy. It's like you don't, you know, whatever, your electrical station isn't giving you enough wattage. You understand?
Absolutely. You're right on.
Right? It's not that there's anything really wrong with your health. It's just you're just operating at low vitality and kind of accommodating to it.
And it almost seems like, you know, going into that deep depression and then spending so many years in that and then trying to pull myself out of it and get out of it.
Right.
I settled.
Yes, you compromised. And also you forgot how it was before you went there. It was like, that's so far away, that's another person. I don't know if I can ever get that kind of energy back again.
Yeah, it's true.
Right? And it is possible to get that energy back, but it takes a lot of nurturing and care and love and actually evoking the anger up and allowing the blockages that are part of the memory in that anger to release, to recognize you're not really blocked anymore. You don't have any blocks now, but you're holding by just default, by habit, kind of an old emotional blocks and resistances from some time ago. And you don't see them because they got habitual, you see. So just running it on partial strength, and actually very few people really make it into their 30s and into their 40s on full strength. Very few people make it there because, you know, you're running a gauntlet, you know, from the get-go, a gauntlet of people who are saying, don't be angry, or blocking you and saying you're powerless, and no, you can't do this, and you can't do that, you know, and if you do this, you're going to get punished, you know, and so in a sense, you've been so restricted and imprisoned and demarcated and delineated and defined into narrow channels and passages of possibility and options. That it's a miracle if anybody makes it through there. So, first of all, for yourself and for all the rest of you who are at various stages, nobody operating really at 100%. One of the things that the first thing you want to do is have compassion upon yourself. Yeah, you lost a lot of time in your life to anger, suffering its effects, stuffing it away, beating yourself up with it, judging with it, getting stuck, because every time you judge, you get stuck in your judgment, of yourself or with someone else, about someone else. So in a sense, to come out of that old prison takes a certain willingness and courage to go and sit with your anger and to have compassion for yourself. Have compassion for yourself for what you did it to yourself, really. Mm-hmm. You didn't know what else to do, so that seemed to be a feasible option. You saw other people being depressed. You saw other people settling, right? Mm-hmm. So you said, well, I guess I got to do that too. You didn't have around you a whole bunch of people who are just thriving at 95% of capacity, fulfilling visions and dreams and creating in a dynamic way. Now, when you look at the entertainment industry, there's some people who are just absolutely dazzling creators and go-getters. They have phenomenal energy, power, vitality, and their ideas sizzle, and they're creative up the wazoo. But they're rare. They're admired tremendously, but they're rare. Most people have a push, and hope they can get there, and most of them go, oh, and they fall just a little short. Some of them can maintain a good career and so on, but most people are not able to stay up at that high a level because in your culture resists a fully creative, free person. The culture, first of all, a lot of people hate free creative people because they're happy and successful and they're creative and I'm not. I hate them. I'm jealous of them. I envy them. I don't like them. They're snobs. I'm sure they're snobs. I'm sure they're bad people. Yeah. If they have all that energy and everybody's all bowing down to them, they must be, you know, real idiots, and they must be really egotistical maniacs, and da, da, da. And so people who don't have that will judge you. So why would you want to have it, thinking about how many people are going to judge you about it? You see?
Right.
So you want to recognize that you've got to have a lot of compassion for yourself and have a lot of compassion for other people who've gone through the same thing, who are also other people who are working on partial cylinders, other people who are, and also have allowed the people who are juiced that you occasionally can run across, who are really there and really in tremendous amount of energy and the bliss and passion of their energy, to have an admiration for it, to use it to inspire you. Now, one caveat. High energy does not mean a Tony Robbins kind of rah-rah event, okay? Now, for those of you who don't know, Tony Robbins has this whole thing where he gets thousands of people together and have them stand up and down, jump up and down and chant about how successful they're going to be and how the world's going to treat them great and how they're going to be fantastic and how they're going to have energy and they're going to break through all their limitations and they're going to achieve and succeed. And there are these people that get all charged up and they got lots of energy and they're all revved up and yay. And they go home and after about 2 weeks they're like, they're worn out. Because they were pushing to overcome. They were pushing in discipline and willpower, driving their adrenals. Really, truly, people cannot be all that motivated for money. Even though they think they can. They think money is going to make their lives great, so they're going to... But really, what it is that they want the money because they want something else. That money, they think, will get them there, too. You know, they want some kind of safety or security. They want some kind of happiness. They want certain kinds of things or a lifestyle. And only money's going to get it there. So they think that if they go for money... But they burn out. So the fear is that if you have a lot of energy, you're going to burn out. Mm-hmm. All right? Right. So there's a lot of fear of being too busy, too active, having too much energy, and so on. You also think if you have too much energy, people are going to come and want to have you do stuff for them. And if you can't say no, that is a major concern. You know, you have to be able to say no. That's also if you can handle your anger, if you can love yourself as an angry person, you're also able to say no without guilt.
And I used to be highly criticized because I was such a highly energetic person.
There you go.
With so many things going all at once, and I was the happiest then.
Right. And so you thought, well, I guess that's not the plan.
Right.
Yeah, I won't go back to that plan.
Right.
You know? Let me do the plan that makes me more acceptable. Right. And now you may not have even thought about it consciously, but your subconscious mind says, well, we don't want to stand out too much because then you're the target, you know. Let's stay hidden a bit so we can hide, so that, you know, when they want to shoot arrows at somebody and hate somebody, it won't be us.
Right. I used to say I was flying below the radar.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. Most everybody wants to fly below the radar. So there you got. So
not anymore, though. Now I want to buy energy back.
But, dear one, what happens is that when everybody's flying under the radar, then somebody gets smart and drops the radar, mm-hmm. right, and
yeah.
catches you. So you're going to get caught anyway. So so why not live life really juicy, you know, the way you want? But you have to rebuild your body, and you have to rebuild your sense of motivation. Because your motivation gets really split, like we were saying earlier. If you're motivated for money, you're going to burn out. If you're motivated for love, and you're motivated to love, okay, you're never going to burn out. So it's different motivations. So pay attention to your motivation, you know, because if you have a motivation for money, and it's really not about money, it's what money will buy for you or what you think money will buy for you, you're splitting yourself. You're being not true to yourself. You need to be clear about what you're going for the money for so that you can align correctly and keep your motivation up and keep it clean. Okay, so, because if you don't, then you have resistance to yourself and you will block yourself and block your own energy. You'll have resistance to working for money or doing something for money. Oh, I've got to do it for money. And after a while, I get tiring. I don't want to do it. I have to work, but I have to work. Oh, gosh, I have to work and make money. Grumble, 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 grumble. And where does your energy go? You know. So for you, it's kind of a gentle recovery, dear one. And those of you who've whammed your energy and your energy is nothing like it used to be, a gentle recovery is in order. You want to nurture your adrenals. You want to nurture yourself. You want to give yourself time for your own motivation so that you can love yourself, so that when you're in your true motivation and your true will and you're aligned to your true will and aligned in a sense to higher will, your energy will flow. You will flow. You'll be flowing. There won't be blocks. If you have guilt, bang, you create a block for yourself. If you have a judgment, bang, you create a block for yourself. Any of those kinds of things will block your energy flow. So you want to just gradually dismantle all the judgments, gradually dismantle all the assumptions, the limiting beliefs, the fears, all that kind of stuff that create those blockages for your flow. And then your adrenals can finish recovering because they're a little better, but they're nothing like what they were Mm-mm. when you were having a lot of things going.
Right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Now, part of your spiritual journey was to wound yourself from that.
I agree.
Right.
Yeah.
But you have learned your wounding. You have experienced. You know what it was about now,
right.
And you're on a path, on a spiritual path of recovery.
Right. Right.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right.
I'm so honored to be able to be here and to be able to speak to you, Galaxy. And thank you, Daniel.
And
no,
what is
my
your question?
My issue is I'm not an angry person by nature. I might be competitive, but I'm not angry. My issue is, as you know, I'm in a divorce, in a very nasty divorce, not by my choice of being in this situation. I did file for divorce, but I'm dealing with an angry man. I get anywhere from 2 to 5 letters from his lawyers a day.
All right. Now, what do you, if you say I'm not an angry person, how do you see yourself?
I'm a fearful person.
You like the fear side better than the anger side. That's more your style.
Huh? Yes.
Okay. All right. So.
Or I used to be more of a fearful person. I still have fears, but I've dealt with it. I had guilt. I had shame. I have dealt with it. But I'm not still there. I'm not still where I want to be.
Okay. Where would you like to be?
I like to be where you just explained, to be able to let my energy flow. I had moments that I experienced that. For the first hearing, when I was in front of the judge and I was very nervous, I closed my eyes for a second and I said, Fariba, you just detach yourself from what the judge wants to say. Whatever she says, that's what you wanted to hear. And I didn't know what she was going to say. And I detached from the result. And she said what I wanted to hear.
Well, now
that's after
the removal of charge. That wasn't...
I don't know what I did, but I did
that. That was magic.
Was magic.
That's magic.
So I can do magic?
Yeah, you can still do magic. But the thing is that... didn't we talk to you about putting the mirrors around?
I've been doing it. Yes, you did.
Okay, good. And because this is going to protect you long term.
Okay.
Okay, this keeps you in protection. And that's the most important thing. The second thing is that you've got to get in touch with your anger, because the way that you're being treated, all right?
Yes.
You know, with all these letters and you're being put under pressure and your energies are being blocked by external circumstances. By nature, you should be angry.
I am.
Okay. So you need to sit with your anger. You need to deal with your anger. You need to keep releasing your anger on a daily basis to keep current. So that you can, because if you keep your anger current and not hold on to it for weeks or days, weeks, months, years, whatever, if you can kind of stay current with your emotional body, all right, then what will happen is that you will start to have energy flow despite the divorce. You cannot put it onto the, okay, if the divorce could go well, and if once this divorce is over, then I will have energy, I will have my life, I can do it. Don't put that kind of condition on an external circumstance or form, okay? What you want to do is get your energy flowing now. We talked just earlier today to a dear one who's in the middle of a divorce, very painful, very messy divorce. It's been going on for years. And he fought and he went up and down with guilt and shame and anger, rage and fear and terror, blah, 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 blah. And they ruled against him in where he had to kind of give so much money. And the thing was is that by the time that they made this ruling on him, his business, due to the economy situation, had absolutely taken a blow and had collapsed. So he didn't have anywhere to get this money. So he appealed. And now he's been in the appeal for 2 years as he's trying to build a new company and try to build back up somewhere else. You see, in the meantime, he has learned how to maintain his flow, and he is living a glorious, wonderful life. And that divorce is now, even though he keeps getting served this and that and the other, and they keep going back and forth and so on with the judge and this and that, he's free, even through this process, even so. So the point we're making here is that if you focus on the divorce as being the problem, capital P, in your life, then what's going to happen is that you're going to be imprisoned and blocked by it, and you're going to keep your energy blocked. If, on the other hand, you say, hell no, I'm not going to just, live, in intimidation or live under the pressure and live under the gun all the time and worry about what's going to happen and what's, how's it going to ever turn out and how am I going to do it right and da-da-da-da-da. If you let all that go and keep your energy in flow and keep yourself in harmony, express all those emotions through visualizations and different ways you can do it, lots of healing and so on, you'll find that your life will turn around and become glorious, even in these circumstances, believe it or not.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
But you see, you do have to acknowledge that right now you should be an angry person.
I am, and I write about it every day.
Good. And what we would recommend is to write nasty letters. Nasty letters to your husband.
Should I send it to him?
No, no. This is just for you to release the anger, to get it out, to express it.
But maybe it turns him around.
No, what you do is you write it all out. You write it all out. And then the next day you come to your letter and you read it. And you read it and say, yeah, yeah, yeah. And if you want to add something, add some more to it. This is a old Ozaris technique. It's a 3-day anger release technique. The third day, you go to your letter again, and by this time, reading it, it's going to get boring.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You really have to read every. You don't skim it. You have to read every word. And either delete something that you think is really inappropriate, that's not really authentic or accurate, and add whatever you think, and so on, until you get it really right on that third day. And by that time, most of the anger is out. And you take that letter and you burn it. And in that ritual, you let it go. And you let all the situation go as well. It's basically an adaptation of an old shamanic technique.
No, my biggest dream has been to publish my journal that I've been writing since I was 16, 17. Do you think I can accomplish it?
Oh, of course, of course. But don't do it out of a sense of wanting to judge, punish, hurt, or anything like that.
No.
What you want to do is you want to get yourself really, really clear. And then you can be really clear about what you're going to include from your journal. You're not going to write every word. That would be too much. But you want to put the things that actually are interesting that you, when you're clear, you don't have an agenda on, so therefore you can kind of look at, well, what would I like to share? What do I think people would enjoy hearing? And there you've got fascinating material.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You've had a very interesting life. It's not like an ordinary life of somebody who just grows up in the same house and marries and stays in the same town and stuff. You've been all over the place. You've been done some adventures, and it's required a lot of courage.
Thanks.
And that's what you want to write about. That's what you want to share. You understand?
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Who's next?